Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes, and he told them to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." This is the word of the Lord.
We'll help to keep that open in front of you, and let's pray together as we come to think about God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you don't leave us in the dark, but that you give us light. Thank you that that light comes through the Lord Jesus. So as we look at him in your word this morning, please show us that light and help us to come and live in the light. Amen. I wonder what you feel at this time when we start talking about light. This time of year can feel quite dark, can't it? It's nice, isn't it, when you have a day like today. You think, oh, sunshine, I remember that. Some days, you feel like you don't see the sun at all. You can imagine, can't you, what it would have been like, say, 1,000 or more years ago to endure the winters. Must have been long, hard work. I find myself this time of year just naturally looking forward to spring, to that the sun coming back, to longer days, better weather just around the corner. As I was thinking about that, I realised that there's two things, really, that the sun gives us that I'm looking forward to. One is heat. You just think, I just could do with a little bit of warmth on my face. Make me feel alive again. And the other is light, longer days, brightness to kind of lift the mood. Heat and light, two ways in which the sun gives us life. We kind of bask in it. We look forward to spending our days in it. And we know immediately, don't we, that it's good. That there's something good about it. Everything that God has made in the world is good, and that means that it points us to him, the one who is supremely good. We've been thinking the last month or so in John chapter 8 how light points us to God. It tells us something about God. As we move into John chapter 9, here again this morning, Jesus again says, "I am the light of the world." So as we dwell on that again this morning, it's a good chance in this passage to kind of take stock and to have a think. What does it mean then for Jesus to be light of the world? What are we meant to see and learn about God from that phrase? Here, as we move into John chapter 9, the focus shifts a bit. If in the last few weeks we've been listening to a lot of teaching from Jesus about what it means to be the light of the world, here we have a miracle, if you like, it's acted out. There's something to see. The focus in the last chapter was on something to hear and listen. Here it's on something to see that will help us to know what it means for Jesus to be our light. So let's have a look at John chapter 9. We'll focus in on verses 1 to 7. And again, we'll just pick out two things to learn about the light. Just as the sun gives us heat and light, two positive life-giving things. So here we'll find two positive life-giving things about Jesus being the light, showing his goodness and warmth. It's a short passage, so we won't split it up into sections. We'll just pick out two ideas that run through it, two things to see. And the first is that Jesus is the light that makes us see. The second is that Jesus is the light who shows us God. So let's think about that first one. Jesus is the light who makes us see. Join me in chapter 9, verse 1. Have that open in front of you. And in many ways, John here just records for us quite a straightforward miracle story, just like lots of the other stories in the Gospels. We're introduced to a person in need at the start of the story. Have a look at verse 1 with me. As he, that's Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. He saw a man blind from birth. That's all we're told about this man. We're not told a great deal more. We don't know if he's sat by the side of the road begging. We're not told that he says anything to Jesus. He doesn't shout out. What John records for us is that he's blind. He cannot see. In fact, he's never been able to see. He was born with whatever condition is causing his blindness. The disciples want to know why he's blind like this, whose fault it is, if you like. But Jesus is more interested in what to do about it. After a bit of a back and forth between Jesus and his followers, Jesus then has compassion on this blind man. He decides to do something about it. Look down with me at verse 6 of chapter 9. After saying this, he, again, that's Jesus, spat on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Jesus performs an amazing miracle. He heals the man of a problem that he has lived with his whole life. The man who was blind when he was born can now see. But perhaps you're with me in thinking that there's something a bit odd about the way that Jesus does this miracle. Did you spot it? He makes some mud with his own spit and then puts it on the man's eyes. He asks him to wash it off. There are lots of opinions as to why he does that, but no one really knows for sure. John doesn't tell us why there's all this mud going on. I think one of the best explanations I've heard is that it shows that it's as easy for Jesus to wash someone's face as it is for him to heal him of blindness. It's as easy to heal as it is to wash dirt from his face. Jesus directs the man to wash, but it's clear, isn't it, that it's Jesus who is the power behind the healing. There's nothing special, if you like, about the mud or the water. It's Jesus who makes the man see, washing away his sight problem. Now, there are a couple of signs in this story that this miracle is meant to point us to something bigger, to something more, to something about Jesus. If you like, it's a sign. Have a look what Jesus says in verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world, says Jesus. See, this miracle is a picture of how Jesus is the light, of how Jesus can give sight. But here he's picturing a different kind of sight. Light helps us to see. If we want to see, we say we switch on the lights, don't we? Back in chapter 8, we've been learning, haven't we, how people don't see who Jesus is and what they themselves are really like. And Jesus is the light of the world, come to show us that we're sinners and that he is the Saviour. And just as Jesus heals this man physically, so also Jesus is able to heal us of our spiritual blindness. Jesus is the light who makes us see. I like thinking about how different words can be used in different ways. So if we use this word see in different ways, can't we? It's great fun playing those kind of tricks on Johannes, our non-native English speaker, who's confused when we say see, what do we mean? The word see, when we talk about seeing something, is a word that we naturally think about being used in different ways. Talking yesterday to someone trying to explain something, and they suddenly said, oh, I see. And it didn't mean that they'd looked at it. It meant that they could understand. They weren't seeing with their eyes, but they were understanding with their minds. They could see. They got it. They grasped it. We would also say it's like someone switched the light on. Seeing is meant to work here on those two levels as well. The blind man recovering his physical sight is, if you like, a supernatural work of Jesus' kindness, a miracle. He couldn't make that happen himself. And that's the same with us and our spiritual sight. When we get it, when the lights go on, when we understand that we're sinners and Jesus is the Saviour, well, that too is a miracle. It too is a supernatural work of Jesus' kindness. We are like this man born blind, a sinner from birth. And only Jesus can give us that spiritual understanding. Jesus can make us see. He switches on the light about spiritual things. He brings us light about who we are, what we're like, and our need for a saviour. There's another parallel in this story as well between the two kinds of sight. Jesus heals this blind man by sending him to wash in the water of the pool of Siloam. We've met the idea of water before in John chapter 7, and we thought about it last year. Jesus says that whoever believes in him will have living water. We're told that that living water is God's Holy Spirit. God himself, the third person of the Trinity, who's God's agent in the world, making and creating and working. So just as Jesus washes the blind man in normal water, so only when Jesus washes our eyes spiritually by his Holy Spirit can any of us hope to see, to see what we're like and what Jesus is like. So Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light who makes us see. That means something really important that we need to take away with us at this point. And that's that if we can see who Jesus is, that's only because he has helped us. That means that those of us who recognize ourselves to be sinners and Jesus to be the Savior, who would call ourselves Christians, well, we need to stay humble, don't we? Because that shows us that we're no better than anyone else. We're no more intelligent. It's not that we work that out for ourselves. We only understand God's Savior with God's help. We only see when we see because Jesus supernaturally opened our eyes. The flip side of that is that if we're people here this morning who still don't get what Jesus is about, who don't recognize our need for the Savior, well, there is one person who can help you with that, and that's Jesus. So ask him. Ask him to help you see. Jesus is the light who opens blind eyes. And just as he healed this man physically, so if we come to him, he can open our eyes spiritually. So that's the first thing that the light in this passage does, is that it makes us see. John shows us a second thing that Jesus the light does, and that's that the light shows us God. The light shows us God. Let's have a look back again in verses 1 and 2. And just before the healing itself, Jesus and his disciples have a discussion. It starts off being all about the blind man and why he's in that condition in the first place. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" When the disciples look at this blind man, they want to know whose fault it is that he's in this condition. They are reasoning that God has punished him. He's blind because he's done something wrong. It must be because someone at least has sinned, either himself, perhaps, or his parents. The disciples here think that they know God. They think that they understand how God works. See, someone does something wrong and God punishes them for it. So surely either this man sinned some way before he was born, in his thinking, in the womb perhaps, or maybe his mother sinned whilst she was pregnant. Whichever it is, the disciples, when they look at the man, think that God has got him back for someone's sin. It's funny, quickly, how we paint God out to be mean, isn't it? We paint God out to be cold and callous, out to get us. But Jesus will have none of it. Let's have a look how he replies in the next verse, in verse 3. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Jesus says to his disciples, "You've got it wrong. You've got it wrong about God and sin." When Jesus says here that neither him or his parents have sinned, he's not saying that these people have never done anything wrong. Rather, he's saying here that their sin isn't the reason that the man was born blind. It's worth just pausing here for a moment and thinking what the Bible does say about sin and suffering and how the two are linked. The Bible is clear in Genesis chapter 3 that all pain and suffering in the world came from sin, from people's disobeying God. It's true, isn't it, in the world that a lot of suffering occurs directly from people hurting others, from people sinning against people. But the Bible never teaches the idea of karma, that if we do bad things, then bad things will happen to us. Bad things happen in the world because we live in a world that's fallen, that is broken. And that brokenness, if you like, comes out in different ways in each of our lives. So, as Jesus here teaches, we should never think that someone is going through a hard time or something wrong or bad has happened because they've done something particularly wrong or that they are any worse. In fact, instead of looking for blame, Jesus has something different in mind with this man. He says, "This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Jesus knows that the man is blind because the world is a broken place. And when Jesus looks on that suffering and brokenness, he doesn't ask who's to blame. Jesus sees it rather as an opportunity to show what God is like, to turn the lights on about God. Jesus sees in this man's suffering an opportunity, an opportunity to display, as he puts it here, God's works. What does he mean by that? Well, let's see where he goes next in verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus here goes on to say that he is the one who does the works of the one who sent him. He's talking here about God, his Father, and he's clear, isn't he, that when he himself works, when he does miracles, when Jesus does miracles, God himself is working. The relationship that he has with the Father is that close, that when you see Jesus at work, you're seeing God. So Jesus sees the blind man. He recognizes that here is an opportunity to show what God is like by doing this miracle. See, when Jesus heals this man, he is showing us something really important about God, something that the disciples and we need to see. He's showing what God is doing in the world. Jesus here, when he goes on to heal the blind man, he teaches the disciples that God isn't how they thought. God's not out to get people. God's not harshly afflicting each individual person for each individual sin. No, God's work in the world is to heal, to fix, to restore, to save. Jesus talks here about a metaphor of day and night. In the daytime, people go about their business, don't they? People generally work in the day. They can see to do their work. And then most people stop working when it's nighttime. In the daytime, the light shines. We can see. In the nighttime, we can't. The daytime here that Jesus is talking about is his own life, until the time when he is crucified. Nighttime, he means the time when he's put to death, when, if you like, the light is covered up for a short time. His point here, that is, in the daytime, his work is like a light shining. His life, if you like, is showing us light. In the daytime, his life, we can look at Jesus and see. We can see what God is like. We can see what God is really like. See, Jesus is the light who shows us God. Jesus calls himself here the one sent from God. God himself in human form, the light. And when God shows up in human history, as he does here, what do we learn about God? Well, we learn that God isn't vindictive, as the disciples were thinking. He's not harsh. God looks on suffering, and he brings life where there was death. He brings sight where there was blindness. God, in the person of Jesus, looks on a broken world, and in his compassion, works to fix it. Here, as Jesus heals the blind man and gives him sight, Jesus again says that he is the light of the world. See, he's the light who gives sight, spiritual sight to people, and he's the light who shows us what God is like. And just like the sun brings us heat and light, and we know that it's good, we feel good about that, this episode here is meant to leave us feeling good about who God is. What Jesus shows us by this miracle is that God is in the business of bringing life and freedom and restoration in this broken world. He's showing us here that God is good for us, that God can help us with our deepest needs, that God is the one who can help us to see ourselves and see him for who we really are. And so it's an encouragement to keep listening to him, to stick with his teaching, and to run to him when we find our struggles in life. This passage shows us God's goodness, and so it's a call for us to come to him and to enjoy the light, to feel its warmth. If you like, to praise God that he's good, to embrace the light, to ask for light where we don't see, and to grow in the warmth and light that only Jesus brings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you so much that when we meet you in the person of the Lord Jesus, that we see that you are good. We praise you that you're good. We praise you that you give life, that you give sight. We praise you that you're compassionate and kind. And we pray that you'd give us faith to believe that this week and to praise you for that and to enjoy that and to run to you with our struggles in life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.